Hit the. 7 o'clock, we'll call the meeting to order. And the first order of business is public comments. Since we do have members of the public here and also virtually, when I call on you, would you please give your name and your address clearly so that we can record it. And sir, you are here first tonight, and I'll start with you, and I'll go right around and then hit the virtual.
My name
unless you have a question. Yes, sir. The question. You're muted. You're
muted.
So my name is Bill Jodas, and I'm here representing Steve Rockefeller of Able Coil.
Okay.
32 Green Lane, South Windsor, Connecticut.
So you're actually on the agenda under
yes.
Item 4.
Right. Okay. Yes. Thank you. All right, sir.
All right. My name is Andy Maragliano. That's Maragliano from Juniper Lane in Vernon, Connecticut.
What's the street number?
13.
Thank you.
And I want to thank you first for allowing me to speak at this session. And my topic is trying to lower the cost of paying the servicing. Yeah. Okay. I got motivated when I saw an article in the Journal Inquirer concerning the fees that are charged by the Vernon Public Water Group. Mr. Robert Grassis is his name, and he made some statements on unchanging rates, which were $60.50 biannually. And that's for the first 10,000 gallons of water, and it covered operation, maintenance, system replacement, and service. It's quoted in the newspaper. If there was greater than 10,000 gallons, there was a $6.04 per 1,000 gallon charge. And that was a metered system. For a flat rate, there was a biannual cost of $154. Came out to $318.18. I don't know what the 9 cents was for, but that's all right. Remember, this is mostly residential, I'm assuming. There were other information about multiple dwellings and other sources. Disposable water, if you brought disposable septic water that you might deliver to the facility for refining, was 1,000 gallons was $75, and there was a $200 connection fee for anybody who wanted to join the Vernon water system. So I put some numbers together, and I came up with when phase four became part of the Vernon system in 2014, in 2015, we started paying because that's when the construction ended. And in 2015, I paid a total three payments to $156.93. In 2016, I paid $184.60. 2017, $226. And 2018, $166. Altogether, that came out to $724. Starting quarterly in the end of 2022, everybody okay?
Yeah.
Starting quarterly in 2018, the $100 a month, $100 a quarter payment led 5 years to $2,000. So again, that struck me.
Well, that's a big jump.
That is a jump. How much, I wonder, capital has to be set aside, as we spoke about briefly before. And I assume that there is capital on reserve right now by the Baltimore Lakes Water Pollution Control Authority, and I'm glad to know that. I believe that. And in phase four, there were 125 units. 71 were in Vernon units, and no one in Vernon on our system has a metered system. We're all on flat fee. However, there's 60 homes in Vernon that are serviced by Connecticut Water, and they do have metered systems on our homes. And I compared my service from Connecticut Water to the unmetered service, so to speak. And my argument was, or is, that my personal water usage from 1/18/18/2018, 22 quarterly water bills, my usage of over 10,000 gallons was once, my under 5,000 gallons was five times. It kind of meant to me that the upper end of the water usage was not mine on a meter, would not be mine on a metered system. I would have a lower end scale or a flat fee type scale, but it would be less than 100. There's also 11 houses on my street. I live on a small street in Juniper Lane, a small street, 11 houses. Eight are occupied by two people, couple. The other three houses have some children all above 18 years old and headed out. My thoughts again relate to the population of the community that you're servicing with the Baltimore Lakes Water Pollution Control. It's my opinion that the demographic of our population is limited to a certain extent, that our use of the use of water, conservation is in people's conscious in our community. And if there were 425 grinder pumps installed in the year and 2000 yearly, we'd be close to $1 million, correct? That's the math that I did, and my math could be wrong. Somebody told me when I was talking to them about this, they said I needed a forensic accountant to try to figure out the issues that I was bringing up. And I said, I can throw them out there. People would have to argue with me if they thought they were right or wrong. I think it's time that maybe we lowered the rate of $100 per quarter. I don't want to lower it $70 or $100. I don't want to cut it down to the previous loan rates. But if the rate was $75 or $59, $60 a quarter, we'd be in the same kind of balance range. As Vernon's, you know, open rate non-metered rate. And I don't know. I just thought that at this time in life in general, people could use the extra $50 or $60 that they would save on the water bill to do something else, to feed their family, to enjoy life a little bit, to you know, and the money they saved on fertilizer from the yards, they can really do a good job. Yeah. Thank you. That's my shtick, my spiel. I thank you for hearing me out, and end of story.
Can you leave us your phone number?
Certainly. 860 810-2782.
I say that because this is for everyone else's benefit, because when we discuss the budget, this would be another appropriate time for this to be more of an open discussion. We can't do it tonight, but
it's on our schedule or on our agenda tonight to set some meeting dates. And I know that one of the things that this group will want to do is to set a date for a public hearing as well, so that they can hear from all of the people that, you know, use the sewer system.
And it provides us an opportunity to also explain to you what our expenses are, so everyone has an idea of doing it. And it, without that, I think it's the only way that anyone can have some sense of understanding what it costs to operate and what all you contribute and what all the towns contribute. So that's why I asked for your number, so we can notify you. And anyway, and yes, ma'am.
No, I'm just here as support system.
Okay, so in other words, if we contact him, and you can also go on and check the website too, because the meeting dates will be published.
What is the website of the Lake Commission?
It you find information on the Town of Bolton's website.
Okay, I got the Town of Bolton.
Sir, you're next.
They're on the agenda.
Oh, you're on the agenda. Yeah. Oh, okay. Anyone else wish to address the board on an item not on the agenda? Not, I thank you.
Okay.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll look forward to hearing about those meetings because we will be back.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks.
Thanks for listening. Have a good night. Well, and thank you for your service to the community because if you're a volunteer, but you got the job.
All right.
Take care.
Item 3 is approval of the minutes of the June 6th meeting. And it's, do you have it before you?
Make a motion.
Oh, motion made. Dan made a motion to approve.
Go to the appointment.
Oh, well, that's right. Before we go forward, we haven't done
that.
We have to appoint Jim, who's the alternate, to fill one of the vacancies. I just appoint you to that. You're done. That's all we have to do.
Now I can vote.
Now you can vote. So now we do have a motion before us. We didn't need a second. Or Jim can second it. Motion made second to approve the minutes of the June 6th meeting. Any discussion? None. All in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Abstention. Okay. You weren't there. All right. Item 4, correspondence and
837 Boston Turnpike.
Right. Here we are. The connection proposal.
Yep. And they're here to present their request. Okay. We do have a letter from them based on their need. So that's in your package if you want to review it quickly. And then perhaps you might allow them to present their information to you. And there is a plan here that they dropped off
okay.
In case you'd like to look at it for that.
All right. And I, if there's no objection, you're here to speak on those?
No. Nope.
Oh. They are online.
Okay. And who's speaking on behalf of that?
Okay. I'm Randy Becker. I'm the engineer of record.
Okay. Project. Thank you, Randy. And on the floor is... If you'd like to give us a quick briefing.
Okay, is it okay if you share the screen with me? Because I could show I could put the drawing on the screen if you'd like, or I could just describe it, whatever's best for you.
I'm trying to figure out how to, I don't see, oh, here it is.
There we go.
Okay, so let me pull up my drawing. Okay.
This is making me screen share.
No, the wrong person.
So at the top in red, it says stop sharing. There's a little piano here.
You're welcome to come and assist us.
Okay.
I'm serious.
Can everybody right. See that?
See if you can share now, Randy.
Okay, so let's see, trying to find the right icon here.
Should be in green at the bottom.
There's green. Okay. How's that?
Nothing.
Nothing.
Can you see it?
No, sir. We have the plan here. Do you want to just describe what you're talking about?
Okay. I hit share screen, but nothing.
Nope. Well, it started and then stopped. There it is. You got it.
Okay. Apologize for the lack of Zoom knowledge.
Welcome to my world.
So what we have is on the site plan, you'll see there's a proposed light manufacturing building The existing buildings are up front. Here's Route 44, Boston Turnpike. So what we're proposing is a new sanitary pump station connected to the new addition, and then approximately 270 feet of inch and a half force main. And it would be in line with the, there's an existing pipe cap for future connections stubbed into the property already. There's also, if you can see over here, there's a gate valve 7 feet behind a curb. This is all existing here. The crossing's there and the stub is here. So what we would do is tie the force main into the stub. We would have, of course, a curb stop. It's called that on my drawing notes. Curb stop with the swing check valve approximately 5 feet from the property line, which is about where it's shown with that arrow. And the existing well is, if you can see the cursor, it's at minimum 220 feet away from any part of the force main. The electrical is well beyond 5 feet of separation. So that's an existing electrical line from the pole over to the existing transformer on the property. The letter that I had sent to Sue Ellen indicated there is no road cut, no traffic control, no new pavement required. Design flow is 625 gallons per day based on 25 employees times 25 gallons per day. However, the chart in the sewer benefit assessment policy allows for 10 employees, it's 1.0 EDU, and each additional employee, so 15 additional at 0.1 EDU per employee, it comes out to 2.5 EDUs, and whether that gets rounded up or accepted at 2.5, that's up to the board. We're proposing to use the specified E1 DH-152-93 duplex pump unit. It's 150 gallon capacity. It's exactly as specified, 240 volts, with the alarm panel and the generator plug-in assembly, just as specified in the original Water Pollution Control Authority standards. So no deviation there. And I think it's a pretty simple project as far as the sewer goes. Any questions or comments?
No, unless anybody.
I have none.
No, and you do have a duplex going in there. The newer style with the new blades that basically will wipe out most issues.
Yes, sir. It's the latest and greatest E1 sewer system unit. 150 gallon capacity, duplex pumps, 240 volt.
Thank you.
We will run the force main at 4.5 foot minimum cover. We do expect to encounter some ledge, so we will make sure that the ledge is well away from the sand bedding and so on as we install. And the instructions are basically in the in my notes on my site plan. I call out the standards from the Bolton Lakes Regional Water Pollution Control Authority as the standards which must be followed for this installation. So, I attach the same details in my site plans. If you have the drawings there, you can see that there's a another sheet with all my site details. Essentially the LPS service connection and the actual pump station. And then there's an overview of the layout. Of course, my layout is based on the proposed building, floor plan, and it's just a convenient, it was a very convenient location for that stub. So it couldn't have been in a better spot, in my opinion. So with our lot line modifications and so on, we're very ready and able to make this work.
Yeah, great.
So you're here just for purposes of clarity. You're here tonight requesting the Bolton Lakes Water Pollution Control Authority to approve your EDU request.
Correct. And the contractor will actually apply for a permit to install the application and so on. Once a project becomes priced out and contracts issued and so on, there will be an application made for the actual installation, the application for installation, as typical. So this is an approval to move forward with our, as a permit drawing. We already have our zoning permit and we have our special permit from the building department. So this is our last step prior to entering into contract and actually applying for a building permit.
Thank you.
Right. So the sewer authority doesn't review the technical specifications, although they may have some comments based on what you shared tonight. That's actually reviewed by town staff and the engineer that we contract with to do the review and inspection of the projects. Realistically, you know, my understanding is that you had a condition of approval from the Planning and Zoning Commission that you had to get approved by the Bolton Lakes Water Pollution Control Authority. And so once they approve you for the EDUs that you're requesting, the rest really falls to staff to handle with your assistance once you make your application.
Yes, understood.
And in the past, when we've rounded up to the full EDU unit, so the request would be three, just so you're aware of that.
The approval would be three.
Well, the request of the board, your approval would be three. Correct. So
that answers my first question. but I have one obviously connected to that.
Yeah.
This is all based on the amount of employees that they have at the facility. What happens if in 5 years?
As in any other commercial building, we request a water meter on that on that building.
Just making sure we're all
and make periodic reviews.
Right, and we periodically review it because, you know, one or two employees doesn't change it. But when isn't a change in uses or expanding, we then will.
And we make a water meter water meter reading at or about the time of certificate of occupancy.
Right.
So that gives us our starting
point. That's our starting point.
Yeah. You understand that to be the case, right, Mr. Becker?
Yes.
I can chime
in. I'm familiar with the design flows for various sewer systems, septic systems, and so on, based on water meter readings. And just to confirm, that the actual uses, you know, the water usage analysis reveals that we're not exceeding the design flow. In this case, three EDUs.
Yep. Okay.
So, Mr. Rockefeller, do you have something you wanted to add?
I just wanted to state that just reinforce the fact that we do have a water meter. We are monitoring the water coming into the building. And as we've discussed in the past, Bob, yourself and myself, about the EDU being designated or, shall we say, assigned related to that information. I do have a question, though, and just for my own clarity, and Randy, maybe you can answer this for me. When we're talking about we're proposing a EDU, is that in addition to what we are today? Because I thought that was a whole. So I'm just want to be clear here while we have the whole.
Okay, so Steve, this is for the proposed addition building. The other existing facility already has a sewer connection, and that has its own EDU assignment.
Correct.
So this is strictly for this addition.
I don't.
Yeah, this part, this section does not.
I just don't recall. I just don't recall, Randy. What is the current building EDU? Is it 2.5? Because 2.5 plus 3 isn't going to work for us. So that's why I want to be clear, and I don't want people wasting time.
No, I think if I'm understanding your question, Mr. Rockefeller, you have an EDU allocation for the facility as it exists.
Correct.
The 2.5 that Randy is asking for is in addition to that current EDU allocation.
Well, I may have had a misunderstanding myself then, Jim, because yes, I would expect it to increase, but that seems like a large number based on past discussions and evaluation based on water usage. So we may not, I'm not going to agree to that tonight if it's whatever it is today plus 3 without further evaluation, because we don't use water in our processing. So, you know, this is basically just people washing their hands and using the bathrooms. So before we put a stake in the ground, I want to get some clarity on that.
Is this 25 new employees or 25 total for both buildings?
This is, I have a facility on Howard Road that I'm going to be moving 25 individuals from that area up to here. The goal is to get everybody back into one location. The separation has caused quite a bit of inefficiencies.
That's the question. It's not an addition to, it's a relocation.
It's a relocation, correct? Yeah.
Yeah. So you know, part of that, I think what the authority's getting to is that when you relocate employees, you could request a reduction at the other facility.
Well, it's my intention to sell the other facilities, but that's the case. Sure. But what I'm saying is that right now we have fewer people in this facility than I think represents the EDU represents, because our EDU on Howard Road was determined based on the full number of employees. Now, through COVID and all this other, you know, craziness that we've all gone through, we separated. We took half of the employees and moved them in one building and half in the other building. We never changed the EDUs. So I just want to make sure we don't get ahead of ourselves and have a rating, aka EDU, that's not appropriate. So I'm not arguing what's right or what's wrong. I'm just saying that I want to get more information and look at our actual water usage as a whole so that we're basing it off of real data. That's all. I didn't understand. I guess I apologize if I'm wasting everybody's time here, but
we just had a quick chat here. Because this is a bit more complex than what we originally were looking at, because you bring up another component to this. And I think we'd be very willing to hold a special meeting just to deal with this, the whole issue. I mean, if we're going to deal with it, let's deal with it all.
What do you mean by what's complicated?
Well, if you've had a reduction in one building, then that, you know, you're because you're actually shifting personnel from one building to the next building.
Correct.
So if that's the case, we have two things. One is what's the proper EDUs for the new building, but also the second thing, what's the EDUs from the building that you're going to be going? If you're looking, if it sounds like you're looking for a reduction in that building, if that's the case, we'd rather take the two together.
No, and I appreciate that, Bob. And I mean, you got ahead of me there. I wasn't really thinking of that. I was just more or less thinking about my total water usage, which I know because I'm measuring it in both buildings, and what does that equate to in terms of EDUs? I just want to look at that data and base it correctly rather than just, you know, I know Randy has done his due diligence there and based on the code and the number of people and so forth and so on. But the reality is if we have an option to determine the EDU based on the water usage, then we have that data and we should lean on that.
We'd be happy to put this on hold to another meeting and hold a special meeting just to go over this. At the same time, because we have to have technically a public hearing to grant additional EDUs. So we can do two for one, set the night for a public hearing and have this discussion prior to the public hearing. And this way we can resolve everything in one evening.
And okay. Not a problem. Let me just ask a clarifying question here. So when I thought the purpose of this meeting was to basically look at the fact that we are evaluating the possibility of putting a connection to the system, and what did the board think about that, right? Is that okay? Does it look like what we're doing is adequate, so forth and so on? I did not and was not prepared to have a discussion about what the actual EDU and voting on what the EDU should be for this application. So again, okay. I came into this with a very different mindset. So I apologize if I'm out of alignment, but I'm not prepared to say, okay, it's going to be three EDU on top of, I believe we're paying 2.5 now. I don't recall top of my head, you know, for a total of five something. That seems like a very high number based on previous discussions and previous evaluations of the actual water usage. So again, you know, I'm of the state of mind is let the data drive the solution. So we know our water usage in both buildings. We've been controlling these facilities for a very, very long time, so we can present that information accurately.
Well, just for your edification, Mr. Rockefeller, when I read the letter that was sent to us by Randy, and it's dated, just so you know, it's September 9th, 2022, of course. And in the fourth paragraph down, he goes into an explanation as to the flaw in the design and the required EDUs in that paragraph.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear the last thing you said there. You broke up a little bit.
So in the fourth paragraph down, he goes into the design flow process and comes up with the EDUs that he feels are appropriate. So that's your information, not our information. You understand that, correct?
Oh, I completely understand.
Just making sure that we're all the same.
No, I'm the one that's out of alignment tonight. That's why I'm I get it. I thought I was under the understanding that the discussion for tonight was basically to have the board bless the proposal of connecting. It had nothing to do with actual EDUs. I assumed that would be purely determined based on actual water usage. Or historical water usage based on our processes, or should I say, based on our environment.
The approvals are the EDUs. That's so what we assign EDUs, and that is the approval.
Yep. Okay. So then again, I'm the one out of alignment, and I apologize for that, but we'll get it corrected.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
So just touch base with my office when you're ready to proceed.
Okay, I will do that.
And we'll simply put this one on hold.
Okay, fair enough.
But thank you for all the information. Next time we meet, we'll know all the ins and outs and on the whole aspect of what's going on. All right, I'm going to move on to.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, thank you.
Hey guys.
Thank you. Good night. 366 Boston Turnpike, and you all representing them. And. Yeah, whoever wants to be the lead, you could just give us your name.
I'll start and I'll pass it over quickly. I'm okay. Kevin Walker from working on the property of 366 Boston Turnpike.
Yep.
And we're here to try to get a little guidance on what direction we're going. We're between putting design together for four apartment buildings, which are 208 units, or possibly going all townhouse units. And the reason we're here is just get a feel from the authority of how much sewer flow you may be willing to, allocate for the property. And Rachel can speak to a little bit more, but she's done the calculations for the 208 units. And we want to see if that's in line with something that the authority will both give up, or if it's the authority is not willing to give that much sewer flow. About how much, or just an estimate, so we can figure out what the work we're going. The complex design, apartment buildings, as well as townhouses, we just need to have some direction on which way to go, so we can get you a formal set of calculations for review and go through the typical process for approval for sewer flow, and just give us something to kick off our design with. At that point, I'll turn it over to Rachel.
So I think it's important to know 366 Boston Turnpike. I'm sorry. I'm Rachel Schnabel. I'm with Barton and LaJudas. We're the engineering firm working with John Flatley.
How do we spell your last name, Rachel, please?
S-C-H, N as in Nora, A, B as in boy, E-L.
Thank you.
So I think it's important to first note which property this is, in case you're unaware. It's the one that is behind the DOT property and the commuter lot.
It's
a very large property. It used to be the old drive-in movie theater. It is 22 acres. So we've done some preliminary calculations to look at, you know, what the property can support in terms of septic for the sewer avoidance policy. There's good soils out there. We think it could support a very high flow. And we started delving into the design, but we realized that, you know, there's obviously a limited number of EDUs, and we don't want to put a ton of money into a particular design or invest in the property if ultimately the number of EDUs is not going to be enough for what we're looking to do. So we were hoping to get a feel for what you would be willing to approve as sort of a max limit, you know, conditional that we could show that that would work. And then twofold, so the other piece is, would you be willing to accept water meter data from a similar facility, similar size, similar setup? A number of different facilities that they could pull data from and use that towards determining the EDUs, which is a common practice used in the public health code for determining what the actual flow would be.
So you've done some preliminary work here?
Yes.
Okay, so 208 units. What's the breakdown?
Breakdown in terms of
flow. So you got one bedroom, two bedroom.
For each 52 unit building, there are 28 two bedroom and 24 one bedroom for a total of 80 bedrooms per building. And we're now at four buildings.
So the idea would be we would subdivide the parcel into four, one per building. And then each building would have a flow of 5,760 gallons per day.
That's 5,760?
Yes.
Each building, per building?
Yes.
And I'm sorry, just so I get some. You're subdividing it into four separate parcels. Mm-hmm. So that you're going to have four deeded lots for each, a separate deeded lot for each building. Is that correct?
The subdivision is more for the proof of the sewer. We're probably just going to keep it as one large parcel. All under common ownership. We build, we own, we maintain, we don't sell.
I'm familiar with you.
Yeah, okay.
So this is to stay in line with the threshold of health code versus DEP guidance towards septic systems.
Right.
So that's the 7,500 gallons per day. So we would fall below that threshold for the building.
Oh, I see. Now I get it.
It's a 22-acre parcel.
I understand exactly what
you're saying. So how much total are you need to go into the system? Per day.
Well, if you do the math this way, it's 22,000 gallons, plus or minus 23.
22?
Well, it's 23, closer to 20.
We have like 50 left.
Is that what we have left?
Well, if you look at last in the commentary, when it says we're allocated 200,000 gallons per day.
Yeah.
Average flow and 600,000 gallons per day peak flow.
You haven't been to zoning on this yet, correct?
No, what we're actually going to have to do through this is we're actually going to be writing an overlay district for this parcel. There's a lot of moving parts on this. This is really the first.
Did you have an informal discussion with PECC?
We've had.
So you've had informal discussions, but you're not before them with an application.
And I have a question. And so your firm did the study for the testing on the site?
Yes.
For septic system?
Yes.
So you're saying that if it if it were cut into divided into four segments, each a support. Each, so there'd be room in each segment to support a septic system that would support how many units?
52
units. Plus, so what's a water system? A well for each home? Each.
What do you do with the water?
That's another.
We would have to do a well.
So you'd have to have your own water company that would provide water for all four facilities. You're not one well per, okay. So, and you're saying that I'm not an engineer, so obviously understanding that that you can put a septic system within four septic systems to support that type of, that's about the size of a community septic system. That's a significant area,
right,
and still provide all the areas for the building, parking, and everything else that's there.
Stormwater recharge and all that. Have you done the engineering on all this?
We paused when we realized that we should determine what the EDU threshold is, and we are still working out the water piece of it as well. So,
so really, what we're here for? So is too many EDUs,
right?
We say we're not. That's too much. We're not giving you that. We'll give you this as long as you can prove it works. Thank you. We're on our way, and then we know what we're working with.
Right.
And we'll come back to you with obviously a full study.
So, originally, any thoughts of that site were based upon its existing zone.
Right.
We've never. And
the same thing when we went through the DEP process, Jen.
Right.
So they, looked at the existing zoning and said, okay. I mean, what's that allocated for today, Jim? Tell me what the number is.
Zero.
Yeah. Okay.
So basically, for us to. We can't go backwards. I think for us to make an intelligent decision, we have to look at our data,
right,
see where we're going, and looking at what we've got going, and based on existing zoning on other sites, what EDUs we have set aside, right, for those, and then so we can make one sort of rational decision to let you know the number of EDUs that may be available. Not to say that we grant it, but I think you're asking what would be available. There's another element.
Yeah.
Because we are not only, we're not the only folks involved in here. Then is the city of Manchester, what
they're
willing to take in their capacity. So for us to make, we can look at things for that. If you could provide us what you're proposing as your, I guess, your optimum. So we have some concept of what it is you're really looking for. So we can do some due diligence as to, is it probable, possible, or some component of that possible? Okay.
You should disprove the positive first, though, guys. Really, in reality, you have to figure out what you can actually perk there, so that you can understand what you could potentially build with a septic system. Because we're going to have to go through the DEP in order to justify that. Do you understand how that works?
We have perked it.
Okay.
So we look perked after we've got the deep holes.
Yeah.
We know exactly what we're dealing with material wise, and we have we just put together the sizes of the system. It's just, there's more work to be done before we come to you folks again,
right,
with a formal request.
So we would like you to go do that work, because reality is, if you say you want 208, but in reality you can only support 150 or some number other than 208, okay, whatever it is, something less than 208, then we're just kind of spinning our wheels over here, aren't we?
Again, the question is, then that way we can go ahead and design this 208. If you tell me right now, that's too much. We'll give you 150. well, then maybe we take a building out, or maybe we switch it to townhomes, or do something else. There's just a lot of design work involved, and we're not looking to hang your hat on it. We're just looking for 208 is too much. We're not giving it to you. Or 208 is reasonable. Go for it.
So I'm going to take you and sit you in this chair over here, and I'm going to go sit over there for a minute, okay? If you, you ask us for 208, and now you've got to go back, and you've got to go through wetlands, and you've got to go through planning and zoning, and you're going to have to go to State Traffic Commission, and on it's going to go for all those entitlements that you're going to have to get. And the challenge that we're going to have is we've now committed the 208 to you. If something else comes along, and we can't allocate this, these EDUs to someone else, and you get tipped upside down through that process somehow, and now we've lost that other opportunity, that kind of puts us in a precarious place.
I would be willing to say, until this is fully approved
by
the planning board, that they're your
EDUs. Can't tie our hands.
They're your EDUs until we have an approved plan.
I think that, so Jim, tell me what's going on, because in Philly communities do different things. I'm not sure what we're doing here today, so I want to kind of learn something tonight.
So I mean, we've had several informal discussions with them about this project, and, you know,
I'm more interested in a process piece.
So the process piece is what they need to do is to be able to prove out what their request is at some point in time, so that we can really look at data and make a determination, A, if they can fit on there what they want. And then, you know, B, the other part of that is, you know, we have to do an analysis here on the sewer authority side and see what we have left to allocate, and can we give that much to that parcel?
So do they come to us first, or do they go to planning and zoning first?
So they've had, typically what happens is that they go to planning and zoning first, and this becomes a condition of approval.
That's right. Okay.
That is typically the way that happens. I'd like to just bring up one other thing that, you know, we've had discussions about. You know, you talk about, you know, theoretically splitting this into four lots for the purposes of staying under a DEEP system. I mentioned this, I think, and I hope you heard it and understood it when we had the last informal discussion, is the requirement when you're showing us a theoretical design to approve is that you can cite the buildings, you can cite the septic, you can cite the well, and you meet all the zoning requirements. There's so little frontage on this property. How can you have four lots and meet the frontage requirements?
We propose the road right away.
Okay.
There's no other way to do it.
Right.
Regulations.
Right.
So.
And my inquiry, since I haven't dealt with a large parcel that did not have public water, and with the flow that this is going to require, you're going to have to basically go through the process of creating a water company. And you're going to have to go that process, I'll guarantee you, will take you longer than anything that's going to happen here. I'm sure you've been there. I mean, at least my experience really was horrendous, but I'm assuming
painstaking.
Well, thank you. It is painstakingly slow, and that's the process. And, you know, and I can't imagine you going through that process and then going at the same time this is good, because that's as much in a key element as this is. But I mean, for us to even consider anything, the one thing for us as a board is to really look at what we do have available.
Yeah.
At least we can have that information out there. Not that you're going to get it, but If that's what you're looking for, we can come up with a range, okay? I think
that's all I'm
and that's all, yeah. And on the other side of it, that's a long way from getting it, but at least you have a concept of what's out there.
Yeah, and that's a long way for us. And I
okay.
We're not deep enough in, as you already know, we're not deep enough into it to give you a formal design. We don't expect you to tell us, yeah, we'll give you this. But if we can get a number.
You're looking to say what range might be available.
So if the sewer authority allows you to do this based on historical data that you have, instead of one EDU per unit, what do you think that number would be?
So in our Merrimack, New Hampshire, we have 240 units that are full. Those are 48-unit buildings. We switched the layout to 52-unit buildings. But those were only pulling about 3,500 gallons.
And it's the same type of a mix, two.
Exactly, one and two bedroom. The only difference between
threes.
The Merrimack four units, we've got four added studios. That's the only difference.
How many floors?
Four.
Okay, no elevator. No elevator.
Yeah, we have elevators.
Required by code up there after the third floor.
Required by code, and we don't want people hiking up four floors.
That came to 48 gallons per day per bedroom.
That's a good number to know. Let's write that down. And you don't have any three bedrooms in any of these?
None. They're all one and two, and these will have the studios.
In studios.
Okay. Yeah. So four studios, 21 bedroom, and 28 two bedroom.
Is that the only one? I mean, you guys are.
We've got them. We've got 500 plus units in Nashville. Yeah. We've got another 144 in Summersworth, New Hampshire.
So how are those? Are they close to that 48 number?
They're in the ballpark. Some are a little higher. Some is worth as low.
But it's 10% one side or the other, right? It's no more.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
I can't give you a number tonight. Obviously.
That's okay.
But we got the conversation started.
We got the conversation. So at least I have, and I'm sure some of the board have a better understanding of what it is you're looking for. And I hope you have an understanding of where we are. And
absolutely.
And
you have some homework to do, and so do we.
Yeah, I mean, and we know the public well is not going to be a short process. And we may at some point say maybe we'll do the townhouse.
I hope things have changed. Let me put it down.
No, it's all good. Yeah, and I do appreciate you looking at giving me just a range too.
Yeah,
that's a long way.
I kind of think it's probably the best we'll be able to provide.
Yeah, that's perfect. Okay. That's perfect. I hadn't expected.
Okay.
An on the dot answer from you.
All right, but thank you for coming out. So
right,
we have a better understanding
it.
What thank it is you're looking for.
Have a safe trip back up the island.
Thank you.
It's up out there.
Depends on where you are. You got clear fog, it's clear.
The highway was getting a little tough as I came in, but once I got off the highway, I couldn't see 20 feet in front of
me. No.
Yeah.
Once you go up.
Goodness for those fog lines.
Yeah.
Right. Once you get more information, just keep Jim and a little involved in it. We can get some ideas.
Bob and I can have discussions too.
Yeah.
You know, once you, you know, a little more information at a time,
yeah, I mean,
keep pecking away at it.
Give me a ring, we'll go sit down, we'll start talking to state about public work. I think it's going to be 3 years, complete, and then do townhouses instead of apartments. That's what I mean. We're it can go in so many different directions. We don't want to lay all our money in this. You'd be like, oh, no.
Now, if you want to spend $1.5 million on a water line, that's what it is.
It might not be in the budget.
You're laughing.
I know what it is. No, I'm serious.
That would make it work.
Where is the end of the water
line? It's at the town line.
In Manchester.
At the town line. How far the run is that?
Well, it's not the run. It's,
yeah. It's on the highway?
No, it's the pressure. You would have to put a a pumping station down there to provide. We looked at this thing maybe 5 years, not we, but the town looked at it maybe 5 years ago. And that was the issue. We had a couple of our major corporate owners there looking at that to run it up.
We were looking at a public-private partnership to bring water, and it was just too expensive.
Yeah.
And that was the issue.
You could get a developer's agreement out of them, though. And anybody that tied in, you know, probably 7 to 10 years under normal circumstances. But so, I mean, it's a run, but it's all standing gravel. And, you know, if you could get it on the shoulder of the road, make a lot of sense.
Yeah, as far as construction-wise, it's off the highway. I think it comes up. Yeah, it comes out the side road. It's just one little strip up the highway. It wasn't the piping. It really was getting the water in pressure.
They're going to have to have a pump station.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're talking about the side road that for the exit ramp to go on Route 6, that little side road?
No, it would be the side road. If you went down to the Four Corners, you know where the brand new gas station is?
Oh, yeah.
CJ's? It's the side road that runs east.
You take a left, and it almost maybe 250 feet down, there's another left right there. It kind of horseshoes around Route 6, comes out again just above Shady Glens. Hillcrest. And that's where the sewer line is. That's the route we took going down through there.
Okay.
And that's a water line ends there. And so that's
okay.
Oh, we're looking at everything else.
We priced out time and everything else. But the agreement may work.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, as far as timing, Manchester would love to sell the water.
Yeah.
I mean, but there's the other hooker
capacity. So
yeah. When you the other thing is when you cross the line. Is it Connecticut Water now that's on the, you know, everybody has a territory.
Yeah.
I think Connecticut Water is a territory on this side.
Aqua something or other that owns the.
It's New California Company.
Yeah, whatever. So you got to.
That one you were thinking of, Aquarion?
Yeah, Aquarion.
Yeah.
I think they're the ones that own the rights currently.
Okay.
For once you go across.
So they'd have to waive.
So they're not even close to this thing. So, I mean, but anyhow, I'm just telling you some of the issues.
There's no part of it. It's amazing. They can wait.
No. Hey, you know, if you know it,
it was easy.
If I can share it with you, at least you know it. Right. So if you're looking at this thing, you got to look at that. I mean, that's just another component here.
Have you looked at grant funding for extending the water?
We are constantly looking at
grant funding. We are always doing that.
Okay.
If you find one that we don't know about, you give us a call.
Yeah, okay. We'd be happy to discuss that with you.
You may end up with some more work for your company.
Oh, that'd be nice.
Yep. All right, guys. All right, thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Right. Good luck.
Take care now.
I think you may have Mike from Coventry on the line if you wanted to move.
Yep. We'll do that right now.
Mike, is that you on the line?
Yes, Mike Roof from Coventry here. How are you guys?
All right. I just suggested to Chairman Mora that possibly he move item.
We'll move item 6A up next.
So that you don't have
great. To. Thank you, guys.
That way you don't have to stick with us all night.
And enjoy this.
I appreciate that. So does my wife. Thank you. So you guys saw the draft letter to Manchester. The real quick background is, our town manager, John Elsesser, and I met with Manchester's general manager and his assistant. They thought the best way to move forward was a joint letter from your WPCA and the town administrators and our WPCA to the Manchester Board of Directors. So we drafted it up for you guys. We're, you know, certainly be happy to make any changes or edits you want. And this doesn't commit you guys to anything at all. You know, we would still have to sign an intermunicipal agreement, you know, between Coventry and your WPCA before you guys committed to anything. So I'll leave it.
This is sounds you like a letter. It sounds like a letter of intent, more or less.
This the signature on this is it's not gonna be Mike Carl, it's gonna be me.
Okay.
Yeah, right. We got lines. Yeah, this is what Manchester recommended or requested as the first step. I don't know exactly how. I believe the town manager will bring it to his board of directors in Manchester, and then they'll put it on their agenda for discussion. I'm sure that, you know, John Elsesser, if he's able, will join. If he's not, he'll ask me to join that meeting too, if they have any questions.
Well, one thing we'll have to change is for Dan's name as vice chair and also mayor of Vernon.
Mike's got to come off.
Yeah. We'll just go and put you down in that signature slot.
Okay. Add Dan.
Well, if you have the word version of this, just send it to us and we'll put it on Holton Lake's letterhead and make the appropriate changes.
That'd be great. Is that, Jim, is that you speaking?
Yeah, sorry.
Okay. No problem. I'm on the phone, so I can't see you guys. So, yeah, I got it in Word. I can email it right over to you tonight. And,
great.
Change whatever you see fit. And I think it's okay if we sign this and scan it, you know, as a PDF and email it around. I wouldn't think that Manchester would be too concerned with having an original with signatures on it. You know, like you said, it's a letter of intent. It's not like a signed legal document yet. So I think just signing and emailing PDFs would be okay for this purpose. Unless you guys think differently.
Well, with any agreement, we obviously need our attorney to look at it too.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, again, and there'll be, you know, this doesn't commit you guys to anything, but of course, you know, have your attorney review it. When we get into the intermunicipal agreement, then, of course, that's going to be, you know, a more detailed document that the attorneys are going to be much more involved in.
Okay.
So, yeah, I'll email the Word document to Jim, and you guys make whatever changes you would like.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mike.
Thank you, guys, and thanks for moving me up on the agenda. I appreciate it. Okay.
4C. So you have a letter in your package that's requesting that we stop billing them for sewer charges until the building is rented again.
Yeah, we got to be careful with this. What about all those people that leave their houses? For the winter and they go south and they're leaving. Okay, well, I'm not there during that time. Now I don't want to pay.
So you're setting a precedent, and this is a business. It's not like this is a business for the church. The church is collecting rent there. And I appreciate.
Well, is that what this?
This is the church, yes.
Oh.
And the church has a house and the house is vacant because their tenant left and they want us to waive the charges until such time that their tenant comes back, until they're able to release it. Well, Bobby,
we haven't done that for, like you say, we have people who leave for 6 months or pretty close to it.
Because if I see this, I'm going to come back and say,
oh, yeah,
I'm not there for 6 months, so nobody's using it. I don't want to be paying during that time. But if all of a sudden we get 50 houses doing that half a year, it's a lot of money.
The only thing that we did recently, just, you know, to jog your memories, is for the trailer park here in Bolton, they demolished all the trailers and they completely gutted the building. Mm-hmm. And the motion that you made was that they start paying again as soon as certificates of occupancy are issued.
The difference being is
there's CO here.
Right.
There's no CO. So they couldn't occupy it if they didn't want it to. Sure. This one is fully occupiable. That could be rented in a day.
That's what I'm talking about.
That's the thing that's like.
Well, my concern is, you know, how would we know?
Well, that's true.
We wouldn't. Right. Here's the example. All right, the company that came in under 4A, right? 4A, they had that stub there.
Okay. Yep. Yeah. All right. That stub paid nothing because it was nothing there. The same with the trailer park. It's gone. They took it out. So it's not there. This house is still there. It still has a CO. And if we allow that, I'm telling you, these people are going to sign up and say, I'm not there after you. And you know.
And we couldn't track. We just couldn't possibly track it.
No. And that's going to create a huge financial burden that we're going to have to raise it for everybody else.
Yeah. No,
so
then people are going to say, then they're going to start pointing. And we're going to have a finger pointing contest. Well, you go away for 6 months. Now I'm offsetting your charges.
Right.
You know, that's
a problem because you know, you got this guy here comparing apples to oranges when he's looking at the two different systems.
Yes.
You know, one system has thousands, includes five towns. The other one has 500.
Right.
That
includes two towns.
Huge difference.
Yeah. And what he doesn't know is of that $100 we collect, I would say at least 80% goes to operational cost to Manchester. Or a significant amount. That's the issue. It's not what we're charging. We're simply passing along. There were huge increases, and that was the town of Manchester.
So I say we it's nice to send a letter. I say no action.
No, okay. I'm sorry, we can't do this.
Hold on, so that they see a vote. We say we just took no action. Leave it at that. And really, anytime we get a letter like this, we shouldn't even put it on there. Simply put, it's not how we do business.
The authority doesn't do this.
Maybe see that we don't do it. And then Jim has a way to point to this and say, oh, well, here's a policy of the regulator.
But
I will tell you, I discouraged it.
I'm sure you did.
And
I understand, appreciate where they're coming from, but at the same time, you know, this is a business.
So you want me to draft a policy?
I don't want you can draft a policy, regulation. But I don't want you in writing to respond. You just call them up, tell them this is.
It was an informal discussion, and nobody
was. No action was taken.
Okay.
So. On your request.
Yeah, we should probably have a policy. You own the EDUs. If there's no CO.
Right.
And the fact
is that not subject to our review.
Yeah, the fact that it's not rented, are you kidding me? A house rental? You put it out there and within a week somebody's in it.
Well, you know, let's say that we build these 208 units. Are they gonna, you know,
right? Every time there's a vacancy, we want off.
Yeah, it doesn't
work. There we go.
That's the point. So that's why we just can't do it.
No. Okay, go on to 6. Oh, yeah. 6A, which is 20 Beverly.
You have 5.
5A.
I got to put my glasses back on. Sorry,
but I go to 5A.
Well, this is all covered in a very well put together report from Terry.
Yep.
She's been working on this stuff pretty hard.
Yep.
We've had some collections that came in directly and some that have come in through. Attorney Cullen.
Yeah, who's Attorney Cullen? Oh, just for my own education.
He's our tax guy.
Oh,
he does all of our taxes.
He does all your taxes. Yeah.
Okay. He's taking care of all the tax issues for the WPCA, right?
Once he starts doing them, you have to go through him. You can no longer go through him.
I got this.
Right. Just a real strict set of rules.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So is there any action that we need to take?
No, it's really informational.
Okay. And this consistent with what we said we're going to do, period. This is it.
Right, and it came up in several meetings.
Yep.
I voted on it last time.
We did.
So. Yep. Yeah, we have an expiration of...
They have received multiple letters.
Yeah. All right, so where are we? B now?
6B.
6B, yeah. Meeting date and budget problem.
We come up with a... proposals?
No, I did not put a proposal together. So I think, you know, what we discussed at last year was that, you know, we wanted to have a meeting where we really looked at our budget and came up with a draft budget and made any changes. And then we went to public hearing. And then after the public hearing, we could have a regular meeting and adopt the budget.
Okay, so when did we do that last year?
We didn't.
Oh. We should do it in January.
Really? I thought it was April.
So January is the date that we want to adopt the budget, right?
And we have this
April is the public hearing.
Okay.
You want to start the process in January?
We start the process in January. We bring it forth in April. So because it effectively it begins, is it July 1st, I think? Right.
July 1st.
And what we need to do is, if there is going to be any type of increase, we have to make sure a letter goes out to every individual. Either we send it, or better yet, we could do postcards, go to the website.
Right.
Didn't we include it in the bill for the April meeting? So we sent out a bill. In that, we put a nice little piece of paper. The annual budget meeting is April 15th at boom, 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 boom.
Yeah, we did.
If we do an increase.
Yeah.
Okay, an increase we really need to remember what happened.
Right.
An increase, if that's what comes out of this, we really need to make sure that we send out a postcard that outlines exactly what it is and a website so they can go and look at the entire budget. If it's zero, then we just put it on the bill.
I got it.
Okay, and then we have the public hearing and we go through and we explain. And again, if somebody comes, then at that point, we're going to point out the apple and orange. But if there's going to be an increase, we need to make sure if it's a postcard, bright orange, whatever the color we're going to use, that
attracts the attention appropriately.
Right. And we'll put it on.
What's the tape color for a sewer line?
Pink. Oh, no, tape color.
Red.
It's red. Yeah, I couldn't remember.
Water, yellow, gas, red.
Yeah, right.
Electricity is red. Yeah. What is sewer?
Brown.
It could be brown.
No, it's orange. No, isn't it? No, it can't be orange.
So gas is yellow.
Gas is yellow. Blue is water. Oh. Red is a power.
Hold on.
Ask Siri.
Why should you know that? I think it is brown.
I just don't remember. What's orange? Isn't something orange? Or is it just a bad red?
I don't know anything that's
on it. No. What have I got on my street painted on there?
Electric, yellow gas, orange communication, blue potable water, purple slurry irrigation and reclaimed water, and green is sewers.
Green. Yeah.
Okay. White is pre-marking the outer limits, and pink is temporary survey markings.
Where'd you pick that
up? I Googled it.
Okay.
Where else?
I fixed the.
Okay.
I thought Sue had given us a sheet in here that gave us proposed meeting dates.
I thought there were.
I can't find it.
You did.
I thought she had a sheet in here that gave us three proposed meeting dates.
Wait, did I miss that?
Yeah, we can't find it either.
I didn't see that. I
was supposed to be seeing it either.
I'm perfect before I hear in here.
So we're gonna have to. Do we have anything sitting on a table that?
No, it's not.
You don't have one that's more than the one that you sent us today, right?
No, but I have the same package.
I had a little problem, guys. I never got any of these agendas.
She had the wrong email address.
I think she was sending it to my old Board of Education email.
Maybe.
So we have a new person now.
That's corrected.
Okay.
We're.
I apologize.
No. Well, I'm just telling you that if I don't know, I can't come.
Understood. But you don't usually respond and say I'm coming or I'm not coming.
We don't usually bother you
unless we need a quorum.
So let's look at a tentative date so we can.
We used to do like the last weekend, last Wednesday of every month.
January.
We just copy what we have now.
Well, that would be the last, that would be the January the 25th.
Okay, so we do the last Wednesday every other month.
It's, yeah.
And then we'll have, but once we come in Wednesday the 25th, let's bring that in and verify that.
This is when we work on everything and then we can...
I have no idea.
Because this is the only time we could get people together.
There's no conflict in this room for Wednesday night, and there's no conflict in your office for Wednesday night.
Right.
Right.
Good. Perfect. That's why Wednesday works.
So that'll work. All right. So
yeah, I got conflicts everywhere.
Yeah, I'm sure.
All right. When I'm, last thing, we got to go into just go into executive session.
Let me stop the recording. Yeah, we need a motion.
Yeah.
Make a motion.
You second. All in favor? Aye. And to include Jim. No, he is part of the committee.
He's part of the committee. You know.
All right. Oh. Okay. Motion to adjourn, Mr. Hayes.
Second.
Dan seconded. All in favor? Aye. Aye. We are adjourned.
Thank you, everybody.
It's been a long day. It's going to be a long day tomorrow.